Welcome back to The Download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Coffin. Well, my next guest is a comedian, actor, singer-songwriter, and now filmmaker. Bo Burnham's feature film debut is in select theaters on the 20th of July. It's called Eighth Grade.
Hey, guys. It's Kayla, back with another video. So, the topic of today's video is being yourself. Being yourself can be hard, and it's like, aren't I always being myself? And yeah, for sure. But being yourself is like not changing yourself to impress someone else. A lot of people like call me quiet or shy or whatever, but I'm not quiet.
Most quiet, Kayla Day.
I don't talk a lot at school, but if people talk to me and stuff, they'd find out that I'm like really funny and cool and talkative.
By the way, I like your shirt a lot. It's like so cool.
What? Okay, so growing up can be a little bit scary and weird.
We will begin to explore these changing bodies of yours. It's gonna be lit.
The film is a funny, emotional, and awkward look at the life of Kayla, played by Elsie Fisher, a girl navigating the end of middle school. It's a real-life look at peer relationships, puberty, expectations, and anxiety. It debuted at Sundance, was a huge hit at South by Southwest. It's got nothing but positive reviews since the festival circuit, and it will be released in select theaters here in Chicago on July 20th. Bo Burnham is best known for his work as a stand-up comedian who got his big break over 10 years ago on the internet, developing a rabid fan base through comedy and songs on his YouTube channel. Since that time, he's had Comedy Central specials, starred in movies like The Big Sick, and he continues to tour around the country. Bo Burnham, my guest in studio tonight. Bo, thanks for being here.
Thank you for reading my back tattoo so beautifully.
Where does this movie come from? Talk about your comedy is great. It's amazing to chart your career. Your specials are excellent.
I appreciate
Talk
it.
About how you got to this film.
Yeah, I mean, like, sort of logistically, it was like I felt like I had sort of exhausted myself as a subject. You know, I was really tired of my face and having to express what I wanted to express through my face. So I was looking to other faces. And wanting to collaborate, I mean, I had sort of grew up doing theater, and that was sort of my first love, and then fell into stand-up, which is very sort of monologuing.
Right.
And I had worked, you know, filming my own specials, and I had directed a few other people's specials, and felt like film could be a place to explore another story another way. And then the actual story really was wanting to talk about my anxiety, which I was sort of coming to grips with at the time I was writing it, and talk about the internet. And I sort of stumbled on this voice of this kid, and it was like, I just could sort of say everything I wanted through her.
It's so interesting to think that, because it's a coming-of-age story for Kayla, who is an eighth grader who's about to graduate, and all the anxiety that goes along with that, and you feel that in the audience, as well as other emotions, and funny, of course. But it's interesting to hear that, because you automatically would think it's about an eighth grade girl.
Yeah.
Like, that's where you're going to start. But to hear that it's actually about insecurities, anxieties, the digital world, all that kind of stuff coming from you, that's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I certainly didn't sit down to say, okay, I'm going to write some young girl's story, because who am I to do that? But it just worked out that way. And I did want to write something about the internet and being young, and I didn't want it to be nostalgic, and you know, I love nostalgic films, but I wanted to do something visceral, something that didn't feel like, oh, this is a projection of my memory as an eighth grader, because I do think what eighth graders are experiencing and what we're all experiencing right now in this current moment feels new, radically new, and it being a girl sort of forced me to not project my own experience
That's
onto her. I sort
of
had to approach it like it was World War II or something, you know what I mean? Something like, I researched it like I had never been through eighth grade, you know, because my disconnect from her is twofold. I was never an eighth grade girl, and I was never an eighth grader right now. And I think both of those lend themselves to a very specific experience.
Is it difficult to write a character of a different gender in a different time?
I think it would have been harder to write a 27-year-old man in 1985. I truly, truly think that. Like, I feel like I understand her dispositionally and even, like, neurochemically better than I do people of my own demographic, even now around me. No, I, you know, it was just trying to write the truth of the emotions, which, you know, nerves and fear and excitement, I think, are the same if you're, you know, going into a pool party, or for me, going to perform at, you know, the Vic Theater here, you know, like, I was having panic attacks backstage at, you know, at a 2,000-seat theater instead of a 20-person pool party, but you know, it's my belief that those the feelings are the same.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's relatable because you sit in the audience and there's anxiety around it. There's sweat when Kayla's at the pool party.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've been at the pool party.
Yes.
You know it. Whatever that pool party means to you, you've been there.
And we've all probably been at literal pool parties.
Literal,
and literal pool
right?
parties were miserable for miserable. Everyone. Yeah.
There's something great, though, about this coming-of-age story because it doesn't talk down to the character. It doesn't project.
Yeah.
It's not you as a 27-year-old saying, watch out for the dangers of the internet.
Yeah, right,
or,
right.
You know what, you know, all the external things that young kids have to go through, drugs, alcohol,
yeah, of course.
Sex, all that kind of stuff. But really focusing on the internal struggle, the internal anxieties of this character. Talk about that, because that is as big to an eighth grader as the other things that are mentioned.
Yeah, 100%. Well, that's very kind of you, and that was totally the impulse, was to, especially with just the current cultural moment, like anyone that speaks with authority on what's going on right now is, I just think, bogus. Like, no one knows what's happening. And, yeah, in terms of what she's going through, to say, like, what you're feeling at that age is big and important, and the questions you're asking yourself are questions that I haven't resolved. Even though they're corny, sort of like aspirational quotes, like "be yourself, put yourself out there, be confident." Do you know how to be yourself? Do I? I mean, what? I mean, that is an incredibly deep question that's never resolved.
Tough nut. Yeah.
So that was the hope, not just for me, but for all of the crew, all of the adult creatives in the process, to go, this movie is coming to them, not the other way around. You know, we have no authority as adults. They have authority as kids, because we're trying to portray their reality. We're not sitting there as adults going, well, we've been through that and we can tell you now this is the way you got to navigate this stuff, and just, you know, get an interest in photography and you'll be cool,
right.
Or whatever it is. You know, it was my belief that this sort of inner life of a 13-year-old girl is as important as the inner life of a 60-year-old male poet in the woods. You know what I mean? Like, which is like usually what the human condition is only ever sort of allocated to.
Bo Burnham's my guest, longtime stand-up comedian. I say longtime, but 10-plus years. 27 years old?
Yes.
27. His debut film is called Eighth Grade. It's out in select theaters on July 20th. Getting great reviews from the festival circuit, of course, and a well-anticipated film that's coming out here. These kind of coming-of-age films, especially when you're focusing on someone who is in middle school and learning about their emotion, learning about what it means to try and get the attention of your classmates or be, I don't know, picked on is not the right way, but to navigate the world around you. Those films have been done.
Yeah.
They've been done with a life lesson at the end that it gets better or that that it's not as bad as you think.
Yeah.
But what I love about your film is it doesn't feel like that's the voice. The voice is not, oh, Kayla, get your head out of your iPad.
And
that, to me, makes it different. It makes it unique. When you're setting out to do a film about an eighth grade girl and their experience now, and like you said, you know, you're not writing it because you know what an eighth grade girl goes through. But obviously, the internet, digital life, the different devices that are in front of you, they play a huge role because that is true. Mm. And that happens right now.
Yeah, of course.
So you have to think about that when you're telling us about this character or exploring this character, that has to be organic and authentic and not looked down upon or frowned upon by generations that, if I were going to write that movie and do it at 43 years old, I would say, yeah, you're missing a lot by not
looking
at your...
Yeah, of course, look up, at the sunset, look up, all that stuff,
Right.
Well, the truth is, I mean, like, I have a personal and emotional relationship with the internet. So the internet being portrayed subtly and ambivalently and not... I don't know, from some sort of pedagogical, anyway, that, it was important for me to portray what the internet meant to me, which is, I'm someone that is on the internet a lot and has a lot of feelings about it. And I know it can be a good thing for me and an awful thing for me.
But it's a thing.
It's a thing.
There's no judgment to it.
Exactly.
Right.
What I've said is, like, in 20 years, when, you know, these kids become social scientists, I'll be very interested to read their dissertations. But until then, like, my thing was, like, I just want to kind of take inventory, emotional inventory of the sort of moment, because I don't think anyone, as someone who is very involved in the internet and knows it pretty well, I have no solid ground to stand on. And the more you learn about the internet, I think the less solid the ground underneath your feet becomes to talk about it.
But you, of many artists, you do have a leg up because you've developed your voice on the internet. You've had an opportunity to develop a fan base on the internet.
Yeah.
You've used the internet in a way that's
I wouldn't be here without the internet.
Very authentic and very organic. I use the internet, and it's The experience of social media to me will always be second nature because I didn't necessarily grow up with it. I didn't have an iPhone in my hand when I was 7 years old, eight years old. It was something I adapted when I was an adult.
Yeah, of course.
How does that change your perception of the world, the fact that you have found a way to use this thing that's out there that some might say is terrible and some might say is the greatest thing to your advantage?
I think I'm probably closer to you than I am even to Elsie, because the internet became sort of ubiquitous. Social media did, at least, when I was probably 18. Mm. That's sort of... I had a Facebook at 16, but Twitter wasn't around until I was 19 or 20. Okay. So I at least got to have a little bit of a semblance of myself before I sort of felt like I was the last. I'm sort of like the elder of the internet generation. So that's what was so interesting to me about kids 10, 13 years younger than me who never had an inner voice pre-internet.
What I love about the film, and we talk about the main character of Kayla, is that she lives in this world that, as an outsider, as someone who's watching the film, I judge it. I judge it in the sense that I'm like, get your head out of your face.
Yeah, of course.
Right? That's obviously all the things that are happening to her. And do you really need to do that much to be in that situation? But I didn't grow up with it. I wasn't around it. It is part of their lives, the 7th grade, 8th grade kids, and that's just something that
we'll never understand. Yeah, and people said, like, take that Walkman off and stop. You know what I mean? Or, like, truly, like, people were saying at Gutenberg, whatever, like, get your head out of that printed paper. You know what I mean? Like stop reading those stone tablets. Right. You know what I mean? But yeah, I hope the movie does, because the movie is, I think, and I'm not just saying this as like a salesman, like it is for everyone. I'm saying it is for adults. Like, I did not write this for kids. I mean, hopefully kids can see themselves and it means something to them. But what I found in just being in the world, talking about this movie before it was made, I can have conversations. Everyone is so desperate to have like a 2.5 hour conversation about the kids and internet. Yep. Like, everyone loves to talk about it. And the hope was to create a film where that conversation isn't actively being had, but the arena in which that conversation is being had is realistically portrayed, just so you can understand the context of the day she had that led her to the dinner table where she doesn't want to talk to you and Henry's buried in her phone. Just to understand, like, what these things mean, and they mean something way beyond hashtags and memes. The internet reaches really deep into kids and is, I think, entangled in
it's
their
connection,
soul, and their sense of themselves, but really deep. Not even just interpersonal, though. It's like very in their head. It's even how they see themselves. So,
well, this film,
I hope it just gives a glimpse for adults to sympathize and understand this generation.
It seems to play, the film plays on contrast, which Kayla has a YouTube channel. And she talks about what it means to be how important self-confidence is.
Yeah.
Yet Kayla in her real life is not self-confident. She's struggling to find that. And there's this great contrast between who we are online and who we are in real life, and which one is really us.
Yeah.
Were you trying to look at that relationship, the relationship between
how
we put ourselves out there and who we actually are?
Definitely. But I wanted to go a step further than the idea of the very surface analysis of that some of the things have done, which is, oh, we're so fake online and we're so real in the real world, which I don't think is true. And I do think that, like, the articulated version of who we want to be is actually such a deeper truth than who we are. Like, who we hope to be, I think, is such a more vulnerable, true truth than the clumsy person that we pretend to be.
I would even say it's the other way around. I thought that Kayla was herself online.
It's sort of. Yeah, I think so. I think that's a right way to see it. If it's 60-40 or whatever,
sure,
I do think.
Sure.
But it's like, when we live our lives, who's the true us? Is the true us the person who stumbles awkwardly at the cashier at the grocery store? Or is the true us the person who revisits that interaction in our head at night in our bed? The sort of idealized version of ourselves in our head. I think to ourselves personally, that is the real person. Like, and that's like something like our soul or something, the actualized perfect version of ourselves that she's trying to articulate. So, and I do really think that the internet is like, especially social media, it's more social media than just the internet,
because
the internet's kind of just like just a library.
Yeah.
And I think the internet interacts with our soul in that way. It really is a weird, like, it reaches so, so deep into us, and I just don't see that conversation being had. And I think it's going to be something like smoking or something, where 50 years from now we'll be like, oh, wow, that was a lot more significant than we thought we did.
There are going to be PSAs against social media.
Well, no. And like the stories of like my doctor smoked will be the equivalent of like my shrink had a Twitter. You know what I mean? Like
so
isn't it so ironic?
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see more of it. Yeah. Again, I said, like, I'm the first kind of person of this internet generation to be allowed to do something. in this space, but I think as you see people younger than me start to be able to get some power to make things, you'll see that the internet means a lot more to them than hashtags.
The film is Eighth Grade. It's out on July 20th. Bo Burnham's here. I was watching your special, and there's a great moment you have where you transition from being on the microphone to the piano. And you make a joke in the middle there where you say, this is an opportunity for comedy. Don't let it go. That's my advice to young comedians. You know, like you get a laugh between just moving microphones.
Right, right.
And I wonder about the contrast between you as a performer and a stand-up comedian and you as a filmmaker, because the one thing that I pulled from Eighth Grade is that it is patient. So how much as you as a performer and an artist do you have to almost retrain yourself to say that the space might be there to go for the joke because mm-hmm. I'm a stand-up comedian, but that's not the right place to do it?
Totally. That's a perfect point in contrast. That was part of my interest in this medium. I always try to just look at them, just serve the medium as opposed to like, all right, how can I get this crazy, wacky voice of mine into whatever medium is happening? The density and the sort of overwritten, clever nature of the stand-up was because I'm like, I want to make a show and everyone's paid $45 to be here and laugh. And I just want to make something dense and crazy. And the stuff I like that's live tends to be a little overcooked and dense. And that was just my interest in that space. You know, I wasn't trying to do like the Iceman Cometh. I'm saying you know what I mean? Like that wasn't my interest for my live show, to make something sort of longer and but in film, what I tend to respond to the exact opposite thing in film. You know, I tend to respond to naturalism, realism, patience, not being overwritten, not being clever. And just especially, I just feel like I had been relying on the sort of tools of cleverness and satire and irony for so long. And I wanted to sort of let those go and be more an observer.
Is there anxiety in that? Because you are tremendous on stage in that overcooked, energetic style. Is there anxiety in trying something new, or trying a risk of not going for a joke that's right there for the taking? But
sure. I mean, there's definitely anxiety, though, in trying to do that overcooked thing on stage again when I feel like I had done it. And there's certainly anxiety in standing in front of all those people doing that. There's way less anxiety of making a little movie about eighth graders. But yeah, I mean, there's always that. But I really honestly try to just pursue what I'm interested in and what is exciting to me and what I'd want to look at, as opposed to like, and it's sort of what the movie's about, like doing the like, how does this fit into my career, my oeuvre, like that sort of viewing of myself never led me to be happy. Yeah. You know, I'm totally content now having like an incoherent body of work that maybe completely contradicts itself and stuff, because sort of what I think Kayla in the movie is forced to do. She's forced to view herself as this narrative and not just like, who am I and what does this mean? And if I were to be viewed by someone else, what would they think of me? As opposed to like, just eat chicken nuggets and chill out. And that's sort of what I'm trying to do.
Eat chicken nuggets and chill out. Yeah. That should be the name of the
That's the lesson.
You really nailed it right there. Last thing, I was watching an interview you did. You were talking about how a lot of films that are for or that represent 12, 13-year-old kids, right? The big moments, think about Harry Potter. They got to slay a dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
They got to go get the dragon. That's the idea of what kids are resonating to.
Yeah.
And you see this movie, Eighth Grade, and there are no dragons, yet there are everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
And talk about that. Talk about the idea that for Kayla, the main character, every moment is slaying a dragon.
Yeah. That was sort of the idea, is that like a lot of these stories about this age or stories that are for this age are these fantastical stories that I think some people think as, oh, this must be escapism for kids. And I don't think it is. I think it really is realism, that like Twilight, I'm saying like young romances in seventh grade literally feel like you're falling in love with a vampire, and like he's been beautiful for 800 years. They'll be beautiful for 800 years more, you know? And so the idea was, can we make a story that gives you that sense of high stakes with the actual world that she's going through? You know, can she just be in the back of a school bus waiting to go to high school shadow day, but it feels like she's in a U-boat going to Normandy? You know what I mean? Like, that was sort of the idea, was that the movie can be totally banal, but if we can sync the audience's heart rate with her, it'll feel right. Every day to a kid feels like life and death. We don't need to introduce life and death to actually do that. Yeah, that's sort of the attempted magic trick of the movie, you know, to that you'll leave the movie and go like, oh my God, that was intense. And you'll say, well, what was it about? And you'll be like, well, I guess she just like went to a pool party and went to the mall. I guess like nothing really happened. You know, that's the hope of
right,
it.
Right, right. The movie is Eighth Grade. It is out on July 20th here in the Chicago area. The filmmaker, Bo Burnham. Bo, can't thank you enough for coming
in. Appreciate it, Justin. Thanks for having me. Yep.